Okay. We'll begin with the Rosh Hashanah, and then, if we have time, we'll go back to the Parsha, the regular schedule. So let's take a journey. Let's go back 5,756 years. Let's go back to a time that there's nothing. There's silence. There's turmoil. There's wind. And suddenly, there's creation. Fire, a flash. We have the Torah is created. Another flash, and another concept is created, tshuva. Another flash, and the name of Mashiach is created. Again, we have seven things that are created before creation. Finally, Hashem looks at the Torah and asks, what do you say? Should we create the world? The Torah says, yeah. But first, you have to create tshuva. And that's why tshuva was created first. So, the world begins, creation, chafei yelo. We have the creation of the earth, we have the creation of the planets. Day one, day two, day three, malachim are created. The malachim say, why create men? Well, what's he going to do? It's not worth it. Bam, disappear. Those malachim are gone. Next malachim, should we create men? No. What are you going to create man for? He's going to sin. Bam. Second set of malachim are gone. Again, until finally there's a group of malachim that say, yeah, it's worth creating men. So finally on the sixth day, on Friday, we have a lot of creation taking place. And towards the end of the sixth day, man is created. The first hour, God gathers the earth. The second hour, he puts it together like clay. The third hour gives it shape. The fourth hour, God blows in the neshama. The fifth hour, stands him up. Now we have him upright. The sixth hour, man is walking, and the first thing he does is he gives names to the animals. Man opens his eyes in the sixth hour. He looks around, and he doesn't see desolation. He sees a beautiful, ripe world. He sees animals grow. Deep in the ground there are fossil fuels ready to be harvested. The trees are flourishing. Everything's ready to be picked. He sees a beautiful world. The seventh hour, he's put to sleep, and he has an amputation done. Part of his heart's taken out. Part of his ribs, his other side. And Chava. Now man, when he's created, has a halo over him. He has a cloud. The Shekhinah is above his head. And surrounding his skin, he has like a nail, a layer that surrounds all his body. And when he's first created, one side is man, and the other side is Chava, woman. That's the Tzela. Tzela could mean a rib, Tzela could mean the other side. The other side of him is female. One side male, one side female. And God says, this isn't good. When he was created, all the animals came and bowed down to him. They said, this must be God. And Adam said, no, I'm not God. Let's go together and worship God. Hashem Malach Yus Lavesh. That chapter in Tehillim, Adam took all the animals and said, together we praise God. And then God says, no good, he's alone in this world. Looks like a God. So God put him to sleep, and God made woman, divided man into two. The eighth hour, God commanded man and woman, don't eat from the fruit. You're supposed to learn Torah here in Gan Eden, don't eat from the fruit. The ninth hour, they went to bed together. They went to bed as two, and they got off the bed four. They already had the two children. The tenth hour, they enter Gan Eden. So we're talking about that tenth hour. It's near the end of the day. It's almost Shabbos, Friday afternoon. Adam was created Friday afternoon. Friday afternoon, another mentor is Gan Eden. And Chava goes off for a walk, and there's this huge camel called the Nachash, called the snake. He has the angel of death riding on his head, And he comes galloping up to Chava and says, boy, what a good looking woman. Chazal says she was the most good looking woman ever created. Adam just opened his eyes and saw her, and he hugged her and kissed her, and God came down with the angels and said, let's make a chuppah. They put together a chuppah just in honor of Adam and Chava to congratulate them, to rejoice at their wedding. They're all dancing there. Fine, they leave the wedding hall. Chava, they have their first two children. Chava goes out for a walk. She meets up with the Nachash. The Nachash is a camel-like creature, and he's very smart and very cunning. And he says, oh, you too are commanded not to eat from this tree? Notice that he includes himself, like he was also. Now, the purpose of the Nachash was ideally that every Talmud Chacham would have servants like the Nachash to go and do all the dirty work, to take care of the fields, to do all their work. But we'll see what happens.
So what the Nachash,
there was a snake that had feet, so the snake that could talk. It was a snake that was supposed to be friendly with mankind. And the Nachash deceives Chava and he gets her to eat from the fruit. And after she eats from the fruit, she feels, uh-oh, something's wrong. When God created the ground, he said, ground, give forth trees that taste like the fruit and leaves that taste like the fruit. And the ground could have done that with all the trees, but the ground did the minimum, like most people do. The ground said, okay, I'll give forth one tree, the tree of the Esrog, where the leaves and the branches taste like the fruit, but all the other trees, I'll get away with doing less. And so the ground was deserving of punishment. And now, according to some opinions, what was this Esa Das? It was either an Esrog tree, or a date tree, a fig tree, or wheat, or grapes. The prevalent opinion is it was grapes, because that's what brings trouble to people nowadays. That's why we make Kiddush on Friday night on wine, to show how we're sanctifying the wine, as opposed to what Adam did with the grapes and the wine. So they eat Adam and Noah. So they eat from this fruit, they eat Hadas, and Chava says, uh-oh. Right after she eats that, she sees the angel of death coming towards her, she says, uh-oh, maybe I'm going to go. And if I die, God will create another woman, and I'll marry someone else. Can't have that. So she runs over to Adam and she says, have a bite of this. And Adam eats from it. And right after he eats from it, he feels his teeth. They went bad. And he feels his eyes. And suddenly everything's different. That layer of nails that was protecting him suddenly disappears. And the heavenly cloud that was over his head, that goes. And then God starts appearing. And he feels he can't accept God like this. And God comes to judgment and asks Adam, he says, what's going on? Where you been? And Adam says, I heard you, so I hid. Because I'm naked. I once had a mitzvah. You gave me one commandment and I didn't live up to it. So I'm embarrassed. How could I be in this world? Until now, I was deserving of something because you gave me at least a mitzvah. So I felt like I was at least doing my part. Now I have no commandment. I'm naked. I don't have the one commandment you gave me. I didn't live up to it. Now, by what right am I living in this world? I can't face you, God. I'm embarrassed. And the punishments begin. And God judges Adam. When God came to create Adam, God turned to the Torah and said, shall we? Shall we create man in our shape, in our form? And the Torah says, look, God, if you're not going to have a lot of patience with him, if you're not going to be erech hapayim, slow to anger, virav chesed, with a lot of kindness and compassion, then there's no point. Because man is sinful, and he won't live up to it. So God said, well, why am I called Erech Hapayim V'Rav Chesed? Those are the terms that I'm described as. So I'm called Erech Hapayim V'Rav Chesed, of course. I could create man and it'll be okay. When God was considering creating the world, why did God create the world? The angels told him, God, if you don't have an army praising you, then what's the point of being king? You're no king if you don't have an army. People have to recognize you as king. That's why the first thing Adam does is he gathers the animals, and they say, Hashem Malach, Hashem is the king. So on the first of Tishrei, Adam is created. He comes to a beautiful world, and he sins. And he's chased out of Gan Eden. And Shabbos sets in. The sun sets, and Adam looks at the sun setting, and he says, oh my gosh, this is what happened. I sinned, so there's going to be no sun in the world. This is a punishment for what I've done. and he starts crying. And God sits in judgment over Adam, and Adam deserves to be killed. There was a decree, the day you eat from it, you'll die. So Adam says something in his favor. He says, look, when I was alone, did I sin? I was okay. When you gave me her, so look what she did to me. When I was alone, I didn't sin. And Chava says, well, he tricked me. He had this long conversation with me, and he tricked me. Shabbos walks in through the door. All these pleas, they don't work. Adam is about to be killed. And Shabbos walks in, and the day of Shabbos says, God, every day you gave him a counterpart. And me, I'm alone. Shabbos is the odd man out. But I'm supposed to be a day of holiness. In creation you said, you bless the Shabbos, you give it holiness, God. This is the holiness, this is the blessing I get, that on me, man is going to die. First day man is going to die. And Shabbos comes and has this long claim for Adam. And because of Shabbos, God says, okay, I won't kill him today. Like we discussed in Yonah, every time God gives a decree, there are multiple understandings and multiple meanings, and God is free to use whichever meaning he wants. And we know from the chapter in Tehillim that the day by God is 1,000 years. So God says, okay, I told Adam he'll die the day he eats from it, I'll figure a day of my days, 1,000 years. And Adam starts praising the day of Shabbos. Mizmor Shir LeYom HaShabbos was compiled by Adam. When Shabbos protected him, he compiled the song for Shabbos. So Adam stood in judgment on Rosh Hashanah. What was Adam's purpose on Rosh Hashanah? To recognize God as his king. And God said, from now on, for eternity, on this day, the beginning of creation of man, notice it's not the beginning of creation of the world, even though in the prayers we say Hayom Haras Olam, today was the birth of the world, it doesn't literally mean that. It means today was the birth of the whole purpose of the world. Everything was created for Adam. So Rosh Hashanah is the day in which God completed creating man with the purpose to recognize God as his creator. The idea of Rosh Hashanah is Malchus, kingdom. Notice that in the prayers of Rosh Hashanah we ask for nothing. We have small interjections. We say, please remember us, Jewish people, the congregation, remember us for life. That's about it. We say, Avinu Malkeinu, but throughout the Shmona Esrei, you don't see one request. What are we doing on Shmona Esrei? We say, God, you're the king. God, may you rule over the whole world. May the world recognize that you're ruling over it. It's not easy to recognize. Look out the window, what do you see? It doesn't seem like God's running the world. You could have a lot of questions. You should have a lot of questions. If God's running the world, then. So on Rosh Hashanah we say, God, we recognize you're running the world, in spite of everything, and may the whole world recognize it. Rosh Hashanah is the day in which man was judged, and God said from now on, man, all of mankind, not only Jews, every nation is judged on Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow night, every nation is going to be judged. The Jewish people first, and then the other nations. Notice that it was understood that there would be sin. Chazal tell us that Adam had to sin. It was part of the godly plan. Was there a place such as Gan Eden? Did the story really take place? It's a good question. Pasuk says in the beginning of Mishlei that one of the things that King Solomon wants to teach us is lehavin mashal u'mlitza, to understand when things are said as a metaphor, when things are said as a parable and not meant literally. So that's very dangerous. You could say God says, I am the only God. Well, maybe that's a parable too. So we know that's not a parable. Anyone says that's a parable, that's apikarsis. So it's very dangerous if you start saying things aren't literal. On the other hand, we know not everything is literal. So that takes great wisdom, and that's part of the wisdom we're supposed to gain from the book of Mishlei, the book of Proverbs. The Malbim explains, he gives an example. He says, for example, what's an example of something the Torah says, which obviously if you have understanding you know isn't meant literally? The whole story of Adam and Chava, Adam and Eve. There wasn't really a place named Gan Eden, and this whole story didn't take place in the simple sense that we understand it. So what did happen? We know the world started with Adam and Chava, and then from them on. So we don't know exactly what happened. I don't know what happened. Maybe you know. If you know, tell me. I don't know. I don't know. But we are given an understanding that into the genes of the world, the formation of the world included an understanding that man is going to be sinful. He's not going to live up to his potential. So then what's the point that we say the Torah told God, the Torah said, God, if you're not going to be Erech HaTayim, if you're not going to be slow to anger, then it's pointless. What's the point in being slow to anger? Every year they'll just add Chet Al Pesha, they'll sin more. So it's not that way. Why do we sin? Because spur of the moment. We like to think, only now, I'll just do this now. We have 100 excuses, we didn't learn enough, we don't know enough, we don't feel up to it. The excuses are endless. But that's not our true self. Notice that Adam was created. When Adam was created, God took the purest earth, the earth from the Kodesh HaKodashim, the place of the Beis HaMikdash, the holiest place. God took that earth to create man. Man was created with God's own hands. Notice that the luchos that were created by God's hands, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to hold them, they held themselves. Things that are created by God's hands, they have special pureness, purity, they have special holiness, and that's how we were created. We were created with potential for greatness and with greatness as part of our being. It's like the air we breathe. Now we have a choice to bring it to fruition or not. And on Rosh Hashanah, we have a time when we think back and say, okay, let's think what the whole year was. And if you start on Rosh Hashanah, you're in trouble. We start on Rosh Chodesh Elul. A month beforehand, we start looking and checking ourselves. We spend all the month of Elul till Rosh Hashanah, and then on Rosh Hashanah, we accept God as our King. On Rosh Hashanah, God's going to open the books and write what every person and every nation is going to get. And then the Jewish people have 10 days to make it better. Until it's sealed on Yom Kippur. A total of 40 days. If you recall, we saw the people of Nineveh, they did 40 days. They were told 40 days till Nineveh is going to be overturned. We take 40 days starting from Rosh Chodesh Elul. We start preparing for the final day, Yom Kippur, when everything is sealed. Rosh Chodesh Elul. Do we have Sfadim here? Not really. Okay. So we'll focus on Ashkenazim now then. So Sfadim starts, Lichos Ashkenazim, we start blowing the shofar. Rosh Chodesh Elul. What is the point of the shofar? So the Prophet tells us, Aishama shofar be'ir v'om lo yachrod. The shofar was the sign that the enemy is attacking. You hear the shofar blow, it's like you hear the siren blowing. It's danger. You guys are new here, right? You get to hear a siren at a time of war. I wish you never to hear it. But in this country, we hear sirens. Unfortunately, we've heard sirens. We shouldn't have to hear them again. When you hear a siren, you better go to a bomb shelter. Or if the time is, you have to go into a sealed room. The shofar was the old siren. That was the sign that the enemy is attacking. The shofar was a calling that sent shivers through everyone. So when they blew shofar, people got scared. And that was the idea of the shofar. Get scared. There's what to be scared of. So we spend the first 30 days preparing ourselves. Tomorrow morning is Erev Rosh Hashanah. Tonight already. The last day before Rosh Hashanah. So we say a lot of slichos. We have the longest slichos, right? Tomorrow morning, better show up than early minyan. Slichos take an hour and a half, 2 hours. Mahon they do tonight. Okay, tonight. I'm going to go to the kotel. They have the kotel. Tomorrow morning, whatever works. The idea is we're coming towards Rosh Hashanah. We want to be prepared. But Rosh Hashanah is also a Yom Tov. So we're a little bit limited. In the davening you'll see that we don't say Tachanun because it's Erev Yom Tov. The ancient meaning was a fast. Everyone used to fast on Erev Rosh Hashanah. Today some people fast on Chatzot, some people don't fast at all. Okay. But the meaning used to be everyone used to fast on tomorrow.
A daytime fast,
right. Anyone who's thinking of doing it, speak to your local Orthodox rabbi first. Because if you see no one's doing something and you think you should be doing something, so you better check your record. It might be right. Just check, because no one around you, I don't think anyone else is going to be doing
something.
Okay, fine. All month long we've been blowing shofar. So that's a custom. It's a very important custom. It commemorates the blowing of the shofar when Moshe went up the mountain the second time. They were worried everyone's going to mess up the count again. Last time, the first time Moshe went up the mountain, everyone messed up the count. They thought he was supposed to come down a day early. When he didn't come down, they sinned. So the next time they blew shofar every morning to keep count. So to commemorate that, we start blowing Rosh Chodesh Elul. But on Rosh Hashanah, the mitzvah is to blow shofar. The Torah says we must blow shofar. So we want to separate between the minna of blowing shofar and the mitzvah of blowing shofar. So tomorrow we're going to stop blowing shofar. There won't be any shofar blowing unless you're done by Shtar B'Slichos. They might still blow shofar tonight. I don't know. The Sfaidim blow shofar during the Slichos. Okay, we're coming to Rosh Hashanah. We're getting judged. But we're not asking for anything. We stand there and we say, God, you're the king. We recognize you're the king. And we spend the whole prayer recognizing God is king. And the prayer is divided to Malchios, Zichronos, and Shofar. Before I continue, did you cover all this in other classes? You covered it. We don't have to extend that. You say yes. You say more or less. Well, you decide. Run through it. Okay. Machios Echonos the Shofros. According to some opinions, it's a mitzvah sedoraisa that we have to say these three things. Now, really, the main thing is you say, God, we're accepting you as king, the beginning of the prayer, just as it says in the Torah, and then you could continue. The ancient custom is that we say 10 psukim on each one. And this isn't mandatory, but once you begin, you have to conclude. And therefore, anyone that wants to daven on Rosh Hashanah must have a master. So, Machios Echonos and Shofros we leave over to Musaf, because people used to come late to shul, so they didn't want to say it early in the morning when everyone's going to miss it, so we leave it for the afternoon. That's one understanding. The ancient understanding is they used to have problems. Initially, it was in the morning. I take back the first thing I said. Not sure it's right. To check that. I didn't see it inside this yet. I might be remembering incorrectly. I might be confusing that with something else. Says that they used to do it in the morning, but then the nations thought they were rebelling. They're blowing the trumpets in the morning, they're gathering everyone to make a rebellion, so they moved it to the later prayer, the prayer of Moshe, and then they didn't run into trouble. So we blow shofar. What's the point of blowing shofar? Because Chazal tell us that since the time of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash, our prayers are blocked. There's a blockage up there, the gates are closed. So how do we get in? You can cry. And if you cry, then the gates for prayer, that from the depths of the heart that involves prayer, that involves crying, that goes right in. So we can't all cry. So the shofar represents crying, the shofar blowing. The shofar is called Yevava, Trua, it's a wailing. And that's why we blow different types of blowings. But frankly, how does a person cry? Does a person cry, that's one way. Or does a person cry, just like that? Or does a person just cry, okay, so those are the three understandings how we're supposed to cry. Three opinions in the Gemara. The Gemara already says that in their time we were machmir for all three opinions, and that's why we blow shofar the three different ways. Either we do, obviously we always do the long blast as an introduction and a long blast at the end, but the main blast, the middle blast, how do we do that? So that we're not sure. How does a person cry? Does a person cry three short blasts, or nine very short blasts, or both, a combination of both? So therefore we do all three. We don't know which one is right. So we do all three, and we have to do nine, right? Each one is a set of three. The long blast, either three short blasts or nine short, very short blasts, that's also considered one. And then a long blast. So we have three, and we have to do that three times. So we have the custom, we do it, we don't know which one is the important, so we do nine of each. And we do nine of each at the introduction, when we begin, and we make a blessing, because it's the mitzvah, that's the mitzvah d'oraisa. Torah ordained mitzvah, to blow shofar. So shofar is blown only by day, and really we only have to blow shofar nine times like that, like we discussed. When we make the blessing, so we say the blessing goes on all the blowings of the shofar, and that's why we shouldn't talk in between the blowings of the shofar. And our custom is to blow it before we start Shmoneh Esrei, and then the Sfaradim do it, I think over here they also do it during the flight Shmoneh Esrei. You say the first blessing, the first three blessings, and you finish Malchios, and then you wait for the Chazan. You see, you should all have a Machzor that corresponds with what they're davening here. And then they blow Shofar, and then the next section, and then they blow Shofar, and then the following section, and they blow Shofar. Ashkenazim don't do any blowing during the flight Shmoneh Esrei, only during the Chazar Sashat, when the Chazan says the Shmoneh Esrei. We come into Shul, Erev Rosh Hashanah. We're coming in. We're coming to accept God as our King. So like every Yom Tov, we have a mitzvah before Yom Tov to bathe ourselves. Yes? once a year we could bathe ourselves. No, not once a year. Every year of Yom Tov we have to bathe ourselves, especially at Rosh Hashanah, because the nations of the world, when they come to judgment, they're mourning what's going to be. The Jewish people, they're confident. God is our God. God's inviting us to judgment. He's for us. He wants us to succeed. He knows we're sinful people, and he's going to make it good for us. So therefore we come well dressed, shaven with a haircut, after some have the custom to go to the mikvah, and we come to shul. Now tomorrow there's a minute to ask one another for mechila. We want to come and if I did something wrong, I should ask for forgiveness. You know, I stole $1 million for you. Forgive me. No, you can't forgive me. Pay up, then I'll forgive you. That's right. If a guy owes you money, he should pay up. There's no reason to forgive without his paying. You could be a nice guy, but he's got to pay. So forgiveness is when you do something wrong and you feel bad about it. If you feel bad about it, then pay. What happens if you hit a guy? I hit a guy. I tore his shirt. Whatever. So I have to pay him back, but that's not enough. There are two stages. One is I have to ask him for forgiveness. If I hurt him, it's not enough that I pay. The other is I have to ask God for forgiveness. God told me I'm not allowed to hit people. So whenever we sin to our fellow man, we also have sin to our Creator. And for that we have to ask God for forgiveness as well. So we said tomorrow, we say a lot of slichos, get a good rest, so you could be with the show on Rosh Hashanah, get a matzah, make sure you know what we're saying. Some have the custom to fast, launder your clothing, have your clothing fresh, take a haircut, take a shave. If your custom is, go to the mikvah. Now, we come to Rosh Hashanah and we're going to say, Shuvah, tzedakah, tzvila, ma'avirin, shorag, zer. What's going to help us out in this case? Our lawyer is saying the way to make things work is tshuva, repenting. So we got to do that today, because in Rosh Hashanah itself we don't spend the time crying. Tfila, prayer, well, we'll do that on Rosh Hashanah. Tzedakah. Can't get stuck on Rosh Hashanah, so you better give it the day before. Get stuck at tomorrow. Some have the custom to go to the graveyard to pray by the tzaddikim, and we're not praying to the tzaddikim, but we're praying there, and we're hoping that the tzaddikim will help us out. Any questions still here?
Without the transfer fire?
The transfer fire, yes. It's like any other Yom Tov. We'll get to that. Not lost to the Yom Tov. You're allowed to transfer fire. Yom Tov by night. We have to light candles. So you all tell me I'm not married, and I'll tell you, even though you're not married, you have a requirement to light candles. So find out if the Mahon is lighting for you. Make sure you're partaking in the expenses of the lighting candles. You have to have a portion. You have to own part of the candles. If you're eating out, then you should give the person you're eating by 5 agurot. Doesn't matter what. You should have a portion in the candles that he's lighting. This is true for every Friday night. This is also true for Erev Yom Tov. You have to light candles. You have to have a portion in the candles. Prepare yourself. We're going to say Amelech HaKodosh. The end of the starting Rosh Hashanah till Yom Kippur, we end off with prayer HaMelech HaKadosh. Most people mess up the first night of Rosh Hashanah and then they kick themselves. First night of Rosh Hashanah, I messed up. Yeah, don't worry, most people do. So do worry, get yourself prepared. If you messed up anyways, you got to start from scratch. If you catch yourself within 2-3 seconds, you could correct it, so long as you haven't started the next blessing, otherwise you got to start from the beginning. HaMelech HaMishpat, so that's also relevant for Matzoi Rosh Hashanah. Also Rosh Hashanah, we say HaMelech HaMishpat. The other interjections, if you forgot them, okay, what can you do? We end prayer, we wish one another to have a good year. We say Shana Tova, Tikatev, some say Tikatev Etechatem. If you have a hard time remembering it, you could say, I'm going like the Shulchan Aruch. I just say Shana Tova, Tikatev, may you be written. That's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So everyone will say, no, don't you know you're supposed to say more? She can tell them, no, don't you know Shulchan Aruch says this. Okay, that's an easy way out. By next year, you could remember the rest of it. Simone, Chazal tells that before a decree comes out into this world, so there are a few things that happen. First it's thought out, and then someone speaks it, and then someone could do a sign that it'll happen, and then it happens. So that means that if a person says, you know, I wish you dropped dead. We had a guy like that in high school. He hated his friend, and he'd always tell him, I wish you would drop dead. And by the end of high school, the guy was dead. Literally. So I'm not saying it will always happen, but I would certainly recommend not saying it. Chazal tells you have to be careful what we say, because decrees up in heaven first formulate as thoughts in people's minds, then as speech, then we could strengthen them with simanim, like the prophets always did signs, and then they come to be, and so Rosh Hashanah by night, we do all kinds of simanim. We eat all kinds of special fruit and vegetables, and we say special things over them, that this should be a sign for what's going to be, because we said that making a sign brings things to be. Get yourself an English matzor, or one of the things Mahon Meir puts out, so you could follow the vegetables, what you say on each one. If you don't like eating any of them, so don't eat them. All you have to do is hold it in your hands and say it. The tour, some have the nuscha that when you see this vegetable, you should say it, not that you have to eat it. So today the custom is to eat it, but if you're worried that the person you're eating by didn't buy fruits and vegetables that are check properly for worms, and that's a problem with the kara. The kara, the green vegetable, the green thing that goes in the soup. So don't say anything. If you embarrassed him, then you've sinned terribly. Not a good thing to do on Rosh Hashanah by night, but you don't have to eat it. You could look at it and say you don't like it. It happens to be a very bitter vegetable. Okay, so we have all these different signs. We have the head of a ram. The head of a ram is A, because we want to be heads, right? Heads up. Head and not a tail, right? And also to commemorate the Isle of Yitzhak, we want to remember the great merits of Yitzhak, who was willing to give himself up as a sacrifice, even though he knew he was going, and his father told him so, and he was willing to do it. So we want that merit to stand for us. As a side, if anyone here, what? Can't hear you.
Do you need a full head?
I don't know. Ask Asfardi. Where I come from, they didn't do it. If they had someone else with the meaning is, I don't know. What? So right, Ashkenazim did with fish. With fish, you should know there's a problem. There are worms in their ears and there are worms in their fins. If you're going to eat fish, you have to make sure you know how to check the fish for worms.
Oh.
That are loaded with worms.
Oh.
Take it from someone who didn't know that.
Oh.
Two, 3 years ago. Guys, you know how to buy it.
Rosh
of a Kevis also? I don't know.
If you don't check the brain, the animal's kosher. If you check the brain, and the brain's kosher, the animal's kosher. If you check the brain, and there's worms, so all animals
have. Right, yeah, it's a different thing.
Well, if you made a great meal, and only now
will
check the
roast.
Okay.
Can we stop talking about worms?
Yeah, sure.
The cancellation of rope that we made during the year, we have to give it to three different people or something?
Again, what? Hatteras Nadarm?
People,
you don't confess. You take three people and you tell them that any oath, any vow that I've taken upon me, I regret that I did, and any oath and vow that I'm going to accept in the future, I want from now to be nullified. Some have the custom of Rosh Hashanah, some have the custom of Yom Kippur. Usually Erev Yom Kippur.
Yeah.
Some do it Erev Rosh Hashanah.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on your custom. Okay, so we said all these different signs. We dipped the apple in the honey. Ask the local Orthodox rabbi what you do about the blessing.
Apples,
because
check for worms.
Apples, okay. Some say that at the end of the summer you have to check apples for worms. That is correct. That's what the Vaya says. Before you decide you have to check your apples for worms, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Apples. Normally when you have a meal, so everything that comes with the meal you don't make a blessing on. So do we make a blessing on apples or don't we? Do whatever your balabayas does. Or if you're uncomfortable, have him be motzi. Let him make the blessing for you. Ask your rabbi what you should do, or ask your parents what your custom is. Rosh Hashanah by night. So we should learn Torah. Rosh Hashanah by day. We should learn Torah. The day after Rosh Hashanah, we should also learn Torah. Yes, that's our job in this world. We should be learning Torah. But there's a special custom on Rosh Hashanah not to sleep, because the Yerushalmi says that if a person sleeps on Rosh Hashanah, then it means his mazel, his angel up in heaven is sleeping. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. but it's brought, this is the custom, that we don't sleep on Rosh Hashanah by day. So first of all, you should know this is the first day, not the second day. Second day you could sleep awake. Secondly, you should know if you're not learning or saying Tehillim, then you might as well sleep. It's pointless. Sleep an hour and then learn better. The idea of not sleeping is to be busy doing learning. So, okay, if you're tired after a whole day, so you can't learn things that are deep, learn Medrash. Can't learn Medrash, say Tehillim. But if you're going to sit and chat, you might as well sleep.
You can say
Tehillim at night? You can say Tehillim at night, if you're a Sfardi, if you're a Mekobol, so the Mekobolim say not to. And if you still feel like saying Tehillim, then Kedashim Marchai Yo, he says that if you learn the Tehillim with the Mefarshim, you could say, I say Tehillim by night, I wouldn't worry about it. So the custom is not to sleep Rosh Hashanah by day. If you want to sleep, so you could be a mekubal for that. Now Rizal says that after Chatzos, the din is finished, you could sleep. And that's why most people today go by that. The Magen Avraham brings it, the Mishnah Berurah brings it. That after Chatzos, by the time you get on Shul, after Chatzos, you could go back to sleep. And that's why most people don't know this meaning exists. But, in Shulchan Aruch, it doesn't say that. But, if you're tired, so, the Ari says that, you could rely on the Ari. Okay, we're praying. We're accepting God as our King. Accepting God as our King. And that's why we should have special focus on the word melech in our prayer. The concept of king is one who judges, one who rules over the world. And that's why on Rosh Hashanah, when God is judging us, we're accepting God as our king. We ask God to be king and let the whole world recognize that he is king. Let his kingdom become clear, right? Today, there's Amalek, there's evil in the world, people are being killed for no good reason, so it would seem. And you look around, it doesn't seem like God's king. So we ask God to reveal his kingdom. And we have a tradition, our prophets tell us that there's going to be a great shofar blown when God renews his kingdom in the world. And that's one of the concepts of shofaros, blowing the shofar. And in the prayer, we mention the shofar. Matzei Rosh Hashanah, you have to do Avdalah. Right? Rosh Hashanah is like every Yom Tov, where you could pass flames from one fire to another. You have to light candles in honor of Rosh Hashanah. And we make Kiddush.
Did you do it twice after the first and after the second year?
Correct. No. No, just after the second day you do Avdalah. But the first night we make Kiddush, the second night we make Kiddush. The first night we say Shechiyonu, the second night we say Shechiyonu. Rosh Hashanah has a concept of Yom HaRichta, that we consider Rosh Hashanah one long day, because the holiness of Rosh Hashanah was unclear whether it would be the first day or the second day, so Chazal instituted that we treat it as one long day. It's a 48-hour day. What do you mean? There's a sunset in between 2 days. It's true, but we treat the holiness as one long holiness. But ordinarily we say holiness sets in the late afternoon, Bein HaShmashos, the holiness of the day sets in, right? Friday afternoon we say, whatever Bein HaShmashos you were going to use wasn't Mukteh. If you had a rock that you were using as a placemat, or you were using it as to hold down your kids' diapers, to hold down your papers, whatever, as a door stopper, so that rock isn't looked at, you're using that all the time. By when do we decide? By Bein HaShmashos, as the day sets in, that's when the holiness sets in. What happens when you have two Yomim Tovim, right? Like in Golos, in Chutzlar, some people are unfortunately are still there. Oh, sorry. some are, don't feel bad, unfortunately a lot of us are planning on going back there. And a lot of people are watching this. So in Chutzlar, it's on every Yom Tov, we have two settings of the Yom Tov. Yom Tov becomes holy the beginning of the first day, and then there's a new holiness the beginning of the second day. Rosh Hashanah isn't that way. All the holiness of Rosh Hashanah begins on the Bein HaShmashos of the first day. That's the beginning of the holiness. It's one long holiness. And that means that the halachas of Rosh Hashanah extend from one day to the other, lechumrah, for chumrah, but not lekula. What does that mean? We say when you have 2 days of Yom Tov, you can't bake on one day of Yom Tov for the other day of Yom Tov. There's also Tron Rosh Hashanah. For the same reason you can't light candles on the first day of Rosh Hashanah for the night, the second night of Rosh Hashanah. Because each day is a separate entity for Chumrah. For stringencies, we treat them as two separate days. But for the leniencies, we have to treat them as one long day. So that means that we know that a person is allowed to stay within the confines of his city and walk out 2,000 amas from his city, right? He's allowed to walk 2,000 footsteps from the city limits, from the end of the Eruv, from the end of the city. Let's leave that. Let's say a person says, I live here. This is my city. This is 2,000 amos, 2,000, and this is 2,000. I want to go visit my friend who lives in this city, which is 1,500. So what I can do is I can make an Eruv. What an Eruv says is, I take some bread, I put it out here, I put my bread out here, and I say, you know what, before Yom Tov begins, that's my Eruv.
Yes.
And that's where I'm going to be. And all Yom Tov, when Yom Tov sets in, the holiness of Yom Tov sets in, you said that's at the setting of the Yom Tov, the beginning of the Yom Tov, consider me here. That's where my food is, that's where I am. I'm going to be living here. Now, if I'm here, so I have 2,000 footsteps in each direction. Now the city is all considered like 4 footsteps, like Dalet Amos. The whole city is considered like 4 footsteps. Doesn't count. So the guy says, look, if this is where I'm living, I'll be able to walk the whole city. I can't walk 1 footstep out this way, but I can walk another 2,000 footsteps. I have a 2,000 radius all around my bread. That's near some. So on a regular Yom Tov, we say, well, Yom Tov has two holiness. At the settings of the first day Yom Tov and the setting of the second day Yom Tov. So you can say, the first day Yom Tov, I'll be here. And the second day Yom Tov, let's say, I'll be here. I'll walk over here, and then I'll have another radius of 2,000, right? So that's two different days. But on Rosh Hashanah, you can't do that. Rosh Hashanah is one long day. You can't do that. Rosh Hashanah is one long holiness. So, even though it's one long holiness, we make Kiddush on both nights. But But on the Shechiyonu of the second night, we try to have a new fruit, we try to have a new garment. If you don't, you don't. Okay. You still make the Shechiyonu. Obviously, we're skipping the reasoning. We're running out of time. We have about 2 minutes left. We have a few mitzvahs on Rosh Hashanah. To sanctify the day. Kiddush, that's Rosh Hashanah by night. To blow shofar. According to some opinions, to say the prayers, the mitzvah d'oraita, to say machzor, zechronos, and shofars. Make sure you have a machzor. Don't show up to shul without one. Get one. If you show up to shul without one, borrow one. If for whatever reason you're stuck and you're davening on your own, you shouldn't daven musaf within the first 7 hours of the day. We try not to talk during the shofar blowing. After the second night of Rosh Hashanah, we make Abdullah just on a glass of wine. The wine is in order to sanctify the blessing of Abdullah. Like we make Kiddush on wine, we make Abdullah on wine. Now, why don't we have Psamim? Because Psamim is because we say God gives us a special spirit on Shabbos, so we'll be able to absorb all these things that otherwise would be mundane. What am I doing? I'm eating, I'm drinking, I'm sleeping. Ordinarily, a person, that's not good for a person. So God gives us a special neshama so we could absorb all this the right way. But on Yom Tov we don't have that. So on Yom Tov we don't need the Psalm after Yom Tov. Just a second. And the candle, so we were allowed to use fire on Yom Tov, right? We're allowed to use fire as long as we pass the fire from one flame to the other. So that's why we don't need a fire to commemorate the difference between fires on Matzah Yom Tov. The main reason why we use fire on Matzah Shabbos is because on Matzah Shabbos God gave Adam. Again, Adam saw that the sun was setting, and then he recognized that it's a godly creation that every night the sun sets. And God showed him how to make fire from rocks. And therefore, Chazal instituted that on Matzah Shabbos we commemorate the creation of fire and we make the blessing on fire in Abdullah. But this is Matzah Shabbos, this is Matzah Rosh Hashanah. So we make Abdullah only on wine. The morning following Rosh Hashanah is Tzom Gedalia, fast day. Fast begins from the morning. We fast to commemorate the killing of Gedalia. Gedalia ben Achikam was the last remnant of a leader that we had in Israel. After the destruction of the temple, he was appointed by the Babylonians to lead the remaining Jews that were here, and he was murdered, a political assassination, and with his destruction so too came the destruction of the remaining people in the land of Israel. So we fast the fast of Gedalia. There are different opinions when Gedalia was killed. Was he killed on Rosh Hashanah and they couldn't make the commemoration on the day he was killed on, or was he assassinated on the third day of Tishrei? Gedalia was killed for being too pious. They warned him, your murderers are coming. And he said, no, I don't believe it's Lashon Hara. So Chazal tells, don't be such a pious person. If they warn you that people are coming to murder, you have to suspect that maybe what they're telling you is true, and take care. One last thought with regard to Rosh Hashanah, and then we've got to go down to Ma'ariv. On Rosh Hashanah, we blow a shofar. Shofar, we blow upward, we blow to heaven. But it begins with a small opening, and it expands. And that's what Chazal taught us, is the way in serving God. We got to open our hearts a little bit. We open a little bit, God helps us expand it wider. May we be zochet to accept God's kingdom over us. And may we all have a beautiful and a sweet year. We wish people a shana tova umetuka. The Rebbe from Chabad explained, because it's good. A lot of things are good. Yeah, if you need a root canal and the dentist does for you, it's also good. It's just not too pleasant. If a guy needs an amputation and the doctor takes off his leg, that's good. It's just not too sweet. So we wish one another, it shouldn't only be a good year. It should be a good year and a sweet year. So I wish everyone shana tova umetuka. May we hear good news for all of us and all of Am Yisrael.